All right. Well, today's lesson, we're going to continue on in chapter 2, and we're going to do verses 7 through 9, which I've labeled God's wisdom, how do we receive it. So let's look at this outline from Macaulay. I'll just kind of go down to the cut to the chase here, as they say. So we're going to be looking at, in this section, and this is the outline starting from chapter 1. You know, Paul's talking about division in the Corinthian church here, and he's talking about the nature of true wisdom. So we come down to the section here that we've covered the last couple of weeks about the nature of Paul's preaching and the purpose of Paul's preaching. So we kind of covered that down through, we looked through verse 6 last week. So now we're going to talk about true wisdom. And basically, where is this is kind of the negative of, where is true wisdom not found? So that's kind of, well, I want to review first what we talked about last week a little bit, and then we'll look at that. And there's actually some very interesting verses here, especially verses that maybe you've taken one way, but I think actually maybe should be taken a different way. So we'll see that. So here we go. So let me read the first three verses here from last week. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on men's wisdom, but upon the power of God. Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Okay, so this first verse, I'm just going to kind of put the whole chart up here. This first verse talks about Paul's message. So what was Paul's message? You know, and we've talked about this since the beginning of chapter 2 and before that. And Paul says, way back in verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says, I'm not going to use, in this verse, he wasn't going to use persuasive words. He wasn't going to use man's wisdom. He was going to simply use the message of the cross, the gospel message, if you would. And we see that, we're going to study a little bit more, and we get down to verse 13 in chapter 2, where it says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but by those taught by the Spirit. So we're going to talk a lot about today about human wisdom and God's wisdom, and also about the Holy Spirit and how he's involved in that. So, then he talks about, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. And so let me just put that all up here. So demonstration is the idea to show forth. So God wants to show forth his truth, and the Holy Spirit is intimately involved. So I put this message up here, I put this verse up here in John 14, actually one of my favorite verses, because it really defines what the Holy Spirit's about. So John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And then if you look in, go a couple chapters over in John, you'll see verse 14 in John 16 says, and he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. So God's plan, God gives us his word, his written word, the spoken word of God. It's a spoken and written word. It was spoken in some cases and written down, but it's God's word, written down. But then what's really cool is he doesn't stop there. He's given us the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And his job is to remind us of what the Scriptures say and to guide us. And it says in that verse 14 there, 16:14 says, he will glorify me, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit's job is to magnify Christ, spotlight Christ. And that's the proper relationship between the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son is the one that has accomplished the work on the cross, and the Spirit is the spotlight, what the Son has done. So let's go on. In verse 5 we saw last week, so the purpose of all this is that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men. So this word rest is the ame. It's a state in which someone or something continuously exists. And interestingly enough here, therefore your faith should not continuously exist or rest upon the wisdom of men. But with that verb tense here, that subjunctive mood, it says, but that may happen. And I think we all maybe have fallen into that trap where we may trust in things because we were brought up in this world system. We educated in this. We may fall into trusting man's wisdom. But God says, no, I want your faith to be totally trusting. And that's what the last part of the verse says. But your faith should continuously rest in the power of God. So what we see here is that he's contrasting, and Macaulay just does it wonderfully. He says the contrast involved here is not between the wisdom of men, the wisdom of God. And we're going to see that a lot. Wisdom of men, wisdom of God. But rather, the wisdom of men and the power of God. And I like to think of it this way. You know, men will say a lot of things. You know, men in political office will promise you the kitchen sink. I mean, everything possible. And many times they don't deliver. But what God promises, he always delivers. Whatever he promises will be carried out faithfully. And there's just many verses that talk about that. And I kind of reiterating that point again. The point here is that we walk by faith in the truth of God's word. We trust God to carry out what he has promised. And that's a demonstration of his power. So here's some wonderful verses that talk about what God's going to do, and he will carry it out. Wonderful verse in John 14:3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So just look at that. The God of the universe is preparing a place for you. He says, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So God makes these promises, and he has the ability, he has the power to carry them out. A couple more. John 11:25. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And this is the Lord Jesus talking in the Gospel of John there. Wonderful verses about his promise of eternal life, and that we'll never die. This wonderful verse. And then the last one I have in this vein is the idea of the Holy Spirit and his job. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So these are wonderful things demonstrating that God has the power to do what he says. Okay, so let's go on to verse 6. So verse 6 kind of starts this transition. And we're going to see it's going to talk about wisdom about 4 or 5 times. And it's going to transition at the very end from wisdom to this thing called things, the things that God has prepared for us. So we're going to talk about God's wisdom, and then we're going to transition to the things that he's prepared for us. So here we go. In this verse, but we speak wisdom among the mature, the NIV says. So let me just go down and put this up here. We speak, we're speaking God's wisdom, which is kind of an amazing thing. And I think you all know how that happens. But you know, Paul's speaking here. And also, we speak wisdom among the mature. I think the idea he wants to point out that man in and of himself won't realize that is God's wisdom. He says, well, you're just quoting what that church says, or you're just quoting, you know, they'll put it down. They'll think it's foolishness. But we're able, a mature person is able to speak God's word. And actually, I like the thing that Constable said about the third bullet down. He says, all Christians are mature in the sense that they have come to terms with the message of the cross. So they're at least mature in that sense. They aren't mature maybe beyond that, but they're at least mature in that sense. And then I wanted to point out again, we're mature in terms of the message of the cross. And what's the message of the cross? This will be the third week I've stated this. I don't think you can say it too many times. The message of the cross is a teaching that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died a death wherein the guilt and penalty of man's sin was placed on him, making it possible for salvation to be extended to all those who believe in him. That's the message of the cross. That's the message that it takes to come to know Christ. That's the message that we believe to live with Christ and to walk with him. So now the rest of this verse here talks about his wisdom. Like I said, this is all about wisdom, these verses here. God's wisdom versus the wisdom of this age. So the word in Scripture called age is the idea of the present world with its cares and temptations, its desires. The idea of evils involved. And actually, in Galatians, which we studied last year, it calls this world we live in today the present evil age. And I think the more we live in the 2020s here, it seems like it's getting more evil all the time. So we live in a present evil age. But God's wisdom is not of this present evil age. God's wisdom is eternal. And what Macaulay says, he tries to kind of put parameters on the wisdom of this age, and he defines it this way. The wisdom of this age is a sum total of man's learning that differs from God's word. I thought that was good. The sum total of man's learning that differs from God's word. And we're called to believe God's word. So when we find something that differs from God's word, it's like a little red flag that goes off. No, that's the wisdom of the world. And for example, and I did this last week, some examples of wisdom of the world. Evolution. You know, man says evolution is the way things happen. No, God says I created things. Man says it's Mother Nature. No, I'm afraid not. And then the atrocity, man condones abortion. And God said that's awful. It's a killing of a human life. So, and that's just the beginning. We could list a whole bunch. But that's the wisdom of this world. And God's wisdom is not that wisdom. So a couple more here. I'm just, in the interest of time here, just put them out here. So this is the final part of the review. So that God's wisdom is not of the rulers of this present age. And the rulers can be labeled, you know, different dictionaries have them different ways. They're rulers, chief priests, princes. They're the movers and shakers, right? They're the ones who you see that are calling the shots. And they're assumed by this verse that they're passing away. And by that very declaration, it seems like they do not know Jesus Christ. And this passing away, the third point here, passing away is rather seems like a severe statement, but it's actually the fate of everyone outside of Christ. You know, the passing away is the idea to cease, to be done away with, and it's continuous action in the present. They're in a condition of passing away. It's like that because they're outside of Christ, they started on this road to destruction, if you will, or actually, Wiest has it, whose rulers are in the process of being liquidated. Boy, that's really, really heavy, really hard, a hard thing to grasp. But that's the fate of rulers that are outside of Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's our review here. So now let's get down to the verses for today. And before we do that, before I read those verses, notice that I've underlined wisdom in verse 6, where we kind of start with that idea. And it goes down through verse 7. And then when we get to verse 9, he kind of switches gears, if you will, and talks about the things. And we're going to kind of connect the wisdom of God with the things that he's prepared for us. Okay, so starting in verse 7, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God prepared before the ages for our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they understood it, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, the things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, so let's start here. Start here with verse 7. Let me kind of get to the right spot here. Okay, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. It's a strong contrast. Many of these buts you'll see are strong. Allah is the original word. It's a strong contrast. We speak. We saw that before in an earlier verse. God's wisdom, Sophia, in a mystery. Remember, mystery in Scripture is something that hasn't been previously revealed. It was something that God hadn't previously shown us. So it's an unrevealed truth. And we saw the same thing in verse 6. We just saw a couple charts ago. But we speak wisdom among the mature. So what's cool is the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is able to speak God's wisdom. And what is God's wisdom? Really simple. God's wisdom is in his word, right? There's no other source of wisdom that man has. But there's a helper in that. And we're going to look about the helper. How does a helper fit in to understanding God's wisdom? But we had two verses. One said, this verse says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, something that hasn't been revealed before. And this verse says, we speak wisdom among the mature. And so now we talk about, he kind of makes a statement here, but we speak wisdom in a mystery. And this is the continuation of that. So God's wisdom is not something, I like this, Macaulay kind of points this out. God's wisdom is not some kind of abstract thinking, because Paul says he speaks it. He's able to speak, and we can say that too, we can speak Paul's, what it means is, what we read in Scripture, this wisdom comes through the vehicle of human language. You know, we have the original language, it's the Greek and the Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic in there too, but primarily the Greek and the Hebrew. So we study, we focus on the Bible. And, you know, historically, believers were called men of the book, and we are truly men and women of the book. We look to the book as being the authority of how God speaks to us. But I have a little story here, and it's a true story that's kind of sad, that shows what can happen when you get away from the Scriptures, you get away from God's Word. So this is a story about this woman writer who was once a Southern Baptist minister's wife. She was a Southern Baptist minister's wife and Sunday school teacher. But she became interested in contemplative prayer and mysticism. So she got into it really big time. She got into the New Age type of things. They promoted this, and she actually had books that she wrote about this and endorsed them. And they were endorsed by many people. I've kind of left her name out. Talk to me privately, and I'll pass her name along. But eventually, she totally rejected the authority of the Bible. And she listened to what she called the divine feminine voice. And she said, and in her house, she had an altar adorned with various goddesses, which she worshipped. And amazingly enough, she also had a mirror next to these goddesses. And the mirror was so she could worship herself. A sad case where apparently she was a believer, but you kind of wonder. She went so far down that path, she left Christianity. Scripture and God's Word tells us over and over again we're to be focusing on God's Word. That is our anchor. That's what shows us what his wisdom is about. So let's continue on. Hopefully that wasn't too much of a diversion. Hidden wisdom. I think this just kind of emphasizes again this unrevealed wisdom that is now revealed, especially in the New Testament. Constable says here, the message of the cross is a further unfolding of God's plans and purposes beyond what he had revealed and what people had known previously. Okay, so now, the last part of this is about the hidden wisdom. God, this is God's plan. He planned, you think, wow, it's kind of, he's going to hide something. Well, he has a purpose in that. God predestined, the last part of this verse says, God predestined it before the ages for our glory. Predestined is to determine beforehand or to decree. You know, the wonderful thing, here's a case use of that word where it says we were predestined as adoption as sons. So there's many cases in Scripture where that word is used to declare something God has done. He decreed that the believers would be adopted as sons, full adult sons. And when it's used in connection with God, it's a decree. And here's some interesting things. I'll just put them all up here. God's wisdom of the cross was decreed in eternity past. You think about before the foundation of the world, it talks about we were chosen. And, you know, but man thinks it's foolishness. But the last bullet, think about this. God decreed salvation before there was sin. Sin hadn't showed up. Adam and Eve hadn't happened. But he declared in eternity past. Remember the eternal covenant in Hebrews 13? He said, the eternal covenant says that Christ would lay down his life for man's sin and God would raise him up again. So God decreed beforehand, so God doesn't worry about time. He planned his actions and decreed his actions based upon the need. Okay, so we go to verse 8. The wisdom, still on wisdom, and this is God's wisdom, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. And I like the interlinear, kind of flips it around. No one of the rulers of this age has known God's wisdom. And once again, these rulers are the movers and the shakers. Has known is a gnosko, the know of experience. They didn't know him experientially. The rulers of this age did not know God's wisdom in the past. So the verb tense here is perfect tense. The rulers of this age did not know God's wisdom in the past. And they continue right now not to know God's wisdom into the present. And we see that by the other verse there, what their destiny is. But here's the amazing thing, which is kind of I'll put most of the thing that The sad thing is, if they had known, if they had understood, they wouldn't have crucified Christ, basically. That's what the verse is telling us. And I put some verses up here. If they'd understood and they thought it was foolishness. But the rulers of this age, according to Constable, were they understood as political or religious figures, demonstrated their ignorance of divine wisdom when they crucified the Lord of glory. So man acted in ignorance, but it was God's plan. That's a whole discussion there right in itself. God, in eternity past, he said, okay, my son, you're going to lay on your life for the sins of the world, and I'm going to raise you up again. What hadn't even happened yet? So, and anyway, it's a marvelous thing. Okay, so now, okay, verse 9. I know you all been waiting for this. You probably use this verse. You probably have quoted this verse to people for comfort. I know I have, and not understanding what it meant. It's great to study God's word. You learn so much. So let me read verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, so in my research here, I found this little dialogue here from J. Vernon McGee. This verse surely has been misunderstood, and I can testify to that. I misunderstood it. It has gone to a funeral too many times. I actually hadn't thought about this. And here's what Dr. McGee says. This is what he's witnessed at funerals. This is how this verse was used at funerals. Here lies, dear Mr. So-and-so, his remains are here before us. In his life, he didn't understand too well, but now he's in glory, and he's understanding all things. So is that what that verse is saying? And I'll tell you what I thought, this is a comfort. You know, brother or sister, you know, God has all these cool things in heaven. You're going to get this cool thing in heaven. You don't know what, you can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't take it in your heart, but you're going to get all these cool things in heaven, which is absolutely true. But this verse isn't telling us that. So what is this verse telling us? What is this verse telling us? Okay, that's from Dr. McGee. Okay, but just as it is written. Another strong contrast here again. Even as it has been written. So it's a past completed action. It's an aorist tense. Past completed action. It has been written in the past. So what I did here, this is a quotation from Isaiah. So what I did here, we looked up Isaiah. And this, actually, there were several quotations from Isaiah. But this is the best one. And this kind of helps us. I think if I had read this before I read verse 9, I might have had a different opinion. Isaiah 64:4 says, from the days of old, they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God beside you, who acts, and that word acts means to works and shows, in behalf of the one who waits for him. So based upon that, I think it says the ear or the eye were not how they came to know God, but God's Spirit or God working on their behalf. They didn't come to know him, even though they heard his word. And this is where maybe there's a little bit of a paradox, you say here. Well, I obviously have to hear God's word, but you need the Spirit of God to show you what that means, really, in essence. You can read it, yes, but you need the Spirit of God. And Mike's going to cover that in the next weeks. You need the Spirit of God. And let's just kind of walk down that path here with this verse. So now let's talk about the things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. So things which the eye has not seen. So first of all, the connectivity here, you know, we had wisdom. He talked about God's wisdom, God's wisdom, God's wisdom. And then he switches here. And I kind of think that the things here are referring to the details of God's wisdom. And talk to me afterwards if you have some other ideas, but that's maybe Michael has some other ideas too. But the things are the details of God's wisdom. So the verb here is has not seen. It's a past aorist, past point fact. It's not a future tense. It's not saying these things in the future, you'll say. It says things in the past. The eye has not seen these things, has not seen these things. God's true wisdom. And same thing for the ear. The ear has not heard. has not heard, past point fact again, aorist tense, not future, I has not heard these things. And then we have the which things have not entered the heart of man. Same verb tense, past point fact, not future. These things, God's wisdom, has not entered man's heart or man's intellect. The heart is kind of a big term talking about, we talk about believe with your heart. The mind and intellect is involved here. So Macaulay says, true wisdom cannot be found in man's research. God's message of the cross never entered the mind of man. God had to reveal it through his word. Think about this, and this gets to be a little bit, and thinking about this and talking with Vonnie, there can be some confusion. And what it's saying here, think about the Tower of Babel. Man on his own wanted to reach God, so he builds this big tower up to God, right? He, on his own, he didn't seek God. He tried to, with his own intellect, approach God. So this is saying, this verse is telling us that man through his own eyes and ears and heart knowledge cannot come to know God. Man cannot, I was thinking about this. What if we heard that Congress all of a sudden decided to enact a study program? Let's have a study program to find out about God. We're going to find out about God so we can solve this coronavirus thing. We're going to we'll get all the smart people in the world together, and we're going to put all their collective wisdom, all of man's, and we're going to figure out about God. Yeah, we have the Bible, but that's, you know, nobody believes the Bible. It's, you know, but we're going to figure out that. That's what he's talking about here, that the eye of man on his own, the ear of man, and what's in man's heart, his research committee cannot figure out God. God has to reveal himself to us. Remember, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God took the action. God has to reveal himself so man can believe. So hopefully that puts it in context here. So the last part of the verse says, all that God has prepared for those who love him. God prepared the things for the ones loving him. Prepared, again, as a past point fact. God prepared these things in the past. These things are part of God's wisdom. Man cannot discover these things through the ear gate, the eye gate or the ear gate, or his intellect. Man cannot figure God out. God has to show himself to man and have his spirit illumine man for him to understand God. The things can only be known by God revealing them through his spirit. And that's what Mike's going to start covering next week, revealing it through his spirit. So I have one last chart here from Chafer, Lewis Berry Chafer. And here it is. It is stated in verse 9 that God has prepared certain things for them that love him. Things which are not gained by the eye, I would say by the natural eye, the natural ear, or the natural heart. This negative declaration concerning the eye, ear, and heart is abundantly sustained in the following verse, verse 10, where it is asserted that these things are revealed unto us by his spirit. You know, it's always good to read the next verse. I can't tell you how many times I read it and say, well, what does this mean? We'll read the next verse. And it tells you. This is a classic example. If you stop at verse 9, who knows where you're going to go. But verse 9 says, oh, God revealed it through his spirit. And that's his desire. God's wisdom needs to be revealed to man through his spirit. That doesn't mean you give up on studying your Bible. Say, well, God hasn't revealed it to me. Hey, I'm not going to understand this. I haven't got a chance. No. You diligently study his word, and you count upon the Holy Spirit, as it said in that, to show you the things of Christ, to show you the answers to your questions. Not that you shouldn't seek answers from other people too, but God's Spirit, his mission is to show us the things of Christ. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for our time today, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful blessing we have of knowing you, and the wonderful blessing that your Spirit has been given to us to show us the things of Christ. And they are so many, and his ministry is so wide and so vast that we thank you for that.